Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cleo, Thursday evenings live at 7:30 p.m. Real talk for those who live outside the matrix. Call me now and join the conversation at 347-826-9597 or hail me up on Twitter at Real Miss Cleo or visit me at conversationswithcleo.com. Become a part of the economic evolution. Red or blue? You decide, star.
A poem for Jose Campos Torres. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. I had confessed to myself all along, tracer of life, poetry, trends, that awareness, consciousness, poems that screamed of pain and the origins of pain and death had blanketed my tablets, and therefore my friends, brothers, sisters, in-laws, outlaws, and besides, they already knew. But Brother Torres, common ancient bloodline Brother Torres, is dead. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. I had said I wasn't going to write no more words down about people kicking us when we're down, about racist dogs that attack us and drive us down, drag us down and beat us down. But the dogs are in the street. The dogs are alive, and the terror in our hearts has scarcely diminished. It has scarcely brought us the comfort we suspected. The recognition of our terror and the screaming release of that recognition has not removed the certainty of that knowledge. How could it? The dogs, rabid, foaming with the energy of their brutish ignorance, stride the city streets like robot gunslingers and spread death as night lamps flash crude reflections from gun butts and police shields. I said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. But the battlefield has oozed away from the stilted debates of semantics, beyond the questionable flexibility of primal screaming. The reality of our city, jungle streets and their gestapos has become an attack on home, life, family, and philosophy total. It is beyond a question of the advantages of didactic niggerisms. The motherfucking dogs are in the street. In Houston, maybe someone said Mexicans were the new niggers. In L.A., maybe someone said Chicanos were the new niggers. In Frisco, maybe someone said Orientals were the new niggers. Maybe in Philadelphia and North Carolina, they decided they didn't need no new niggers. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. but the dogs are in the street. It's a turnaround world where things are all too quickly turned around. It was turned around so that right looked wrong. It was turned around so that up looked down. It was turned around so that those who marched in the street with Bibles and signs of peace became enemies of the state and risk to national security. So that those who questioned the operations of those in authority on the principles of justice, liberty, and equality became the vanguard of a communist attack. It became so you couldn't call a spade a motherfucking spade. Brother Torres is dead. The Wilmington 10 are still incarcerated. Ed Davis, Ronald Reagan, James Hunt, and Frank Rizzo are still alive. And the dogs are in the motherfucking street. I had said I wasn't going to write no more poems like this. I made a mistake.
When they came to the synagogues and they took the Jews, I didn't speak up because I believe Jesus is the Son of God. When they came to the factories for the trade unionists to break their will, I didn't speak up because I am self-employed. When they came to the cathedrals for the Catholics, I didn't speak up because I am an Episcopalian. When they came for the blacks and sprayed them with fire hoses and chased them with dogs, I didn't speak up because I have never been to the motherland. When they came to the barrios for the Chicanos and pushed them to the edge of town, I didn't speak up because my skin wasn't brown. When they came for the illegal immigrants and threw them into detention centers and separated child from parent, I didn't speak up because I was a law-abiding citizen. When they came for the elderly and disabled, I didn't speak up because I am young and able-bodied. When they came for the mentally challenged and emotionally damaged, I didn't speak up because I have a little purple pill that deals with all of that. When they came for the gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgenders, I didn't speak up because I am straight, conservative, and contented to stay in the closet. When they came to Tent City for the homeless, disrespecting what few possessions they had, I didn't speak up because I have a home. When they came for the musicians burning their music and destroying their instruments, I didn't speak up because I am tone deaf. When they came for the poets and writers censoring their life's work, I didn't speak up because I can't read. When they came for the artists and sculptors broke their tools and broke their hands, I didn't speak up because it simply didn't interest me. And when they came for me, there was no one left to speak up.
Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. It is the bitter potion by which the physician within you heals your sick self. Therefore, trust the physician and drink his remedy in silence.
Hello, my dears, and welcome to Conversations with Cleo. It is open mic night all night long. Well, at least while we're on the air. Big ups to everybody on this Thursday, October the 17th, 2013. You all know how we roll here. You notice we didn't open with a lot of music except for that from the Beat Therapist with some rhyme with it. You all know him as at Black District. I just know him as Brother Black. And to all of the good people out there that have been talking about this upcoming show, and I am personally myself looking forward to hearing some pretty gobsmacking and heart-wrenching and jaw-dropping kind of rhymes and whatnot going on here this evening. Let's see, you know how we like to do? We like to talk a little bit about the news in this immediate moment. You all know I'm a little bit menopausal, so I'm having one wicked hot flash, and I did not bring a fan into the studio. Shame on me. But we're going to keep it talking anyway. As you all know, apparently the government is back at it for at least a few months. But as I heard the announcement this morning, it occurred to me that they have pushed it back to January and February, respectively. Zin? Now, certainly to put, I don't know, almost a million people out of work, just a few months before the holidays, that's tacky enough. And people were genuinely upset and ired. However, it occurred to me that if they pull this same stunt come January and February, people will take to the streets. You want to know why? One thing. Income tax refund. Uh-oh.
Because you know, if they shut down the government again and they do this same little two-step, everybody will be waiting a long time for their tax returns. I know people's ears are perked up already. Uh-oh, what do you mean my tax return going to be late? You don't know. This is the time, my dears. Get out, let somebody know. Your congressman, your representative. This all falls on us as much as it falls on them. So we will have to wait and see yet again to see what they come up with and whether or not they have the capacity to pull their heads and their egos out of their rascals. I also am going to be updating you all in the next week or so on conversationswithcleo.com. There is currently a writing campaign for Marissa Alexander to have the whole damn case thrown out of court. Done deal. And for those of you who have the time to participate, I am certain that Marissa and her children, whether they know our names or not, they appreciate our efforts. It is most interesting that something as tragic that happened to Trayvon Martin would in some way come back around so quickly to rescue and aid and assist Marissa. And certainly it's not the way that we want things to unfold, but certainly that is what we are dealing with right now. So we'll be putting up that information for you all. Make sure you do take a quick visit to the website. We have changed some things and there will be continuing renovation happening as we get past the upcoming Mercury retrograde. But I would not be Cleo or Miss Cleo without updating you all on the cosmic, I don't want to call it madness because I want to create every moment I speak. However, there are some challenges out there right now, and they are getting increasingly more assertive, if you would. So we have a full moon tomorrow, as well as a penumbral lunar eclipse or a partial lunar eclipse. If you are on the East Coast, you will not be able to view it until after the sun has set. And because it's partial, it will not take up the wholeness of the moon. Understanding that a lunar eclipse and a full moon is about bringing certain things in one's life to completion or to an ending of some sort, to let something go. And right now, as we are in this transitional year, it's all about the letting go, my dears. So if you're out there and you're holding on to something that has long proved that it is not healthy for you, has long proved that it does not fill whatever void you may have, this is the time. And if you've already said goodbye to an association, a lover, family member, you stop talking, whatever the case may be, this is indeed the time to forgive self, to forgive that person, and let it move on. And of course, you know, with forgiveness, nobody's memory gets erased. But at some point in time, as individual creatures, we have to determine what lesson we take from it and utilize that lesson and leave the bad feeling behind. And I understand that I'm asking you all for a lot. I ask it of myself. So it's not an easy task, but this is the opportunity that we have. And if you cannot completely dash it away, certainly put it out of your way where it does not distract you. And if you keep your focus positive, even through this challenging next 4 weeks, it's going to be all right. And by the time we make our way around to Thanksgiving, each and every one of us will have something very we'll all have something to be grateful for. No matter what it is, the smallest thing, one can find gratitude. It always doesn't have to be cataclysmic. All righty then. And I need to, for a quick moment, because you all know, all of my food truck entrepreneurs out there, you know, Conversations with Cleo, Miss Cleo loves you to pieces. Because on Thursdays, because you all know I do my show on Thursday nights, in the village of Wellington, although I've never seen a village that big, but that's what they call it here in Florida, in Wellington, which is well west of where I live, we rush out there to get our food truck goodies and to support all of those small businesses out there, and then we rush back home so that I can get ready for the show. And I hardly ever eat my food prior to the show. I usually eat it after the show. But I got to give some love out, as always, to at Dolce Gourmet Cupcakes, as well as to Royal Wings Truck, as well as to my favorite burger truck. I think I smell the 2014 Food Truck of the Year. However, today we tried a new one, and my partner wanted to make sure that I gave a shout out to Monty's Cajun Cooking. And she got a shrimp po' boy that she raved about from the time she smelled it and saw it until the time she realized she couldn't eat no more and had to put it away. But boy, look here, they also have catfish. I have not had catfish in I don't know when. I didn't even know anybody in Florida knew nothing about cooking a catfish. But I didn't try it this time because I had to go to Bite Gastro Truck and give them some love, because I tell you all, they got wicked burgers and they cook them proper. And it's funny, so I'm hoping that they'll tune in, and I know that LDC is going to send them a tweet to let them know that we gave them a shout out on the show to the food truck, because we're always like the first ones there. I got a serious issue. And I walked up, and I believe one of the brethren that runs the food truck, there were two brethren and one young lady there. She seemed a little bit bothered by everything. I don't understand, but it's all good. But the two brethren, one white youth and one black youth. And one of them said, "Miss, you really Miss Cleo? Miss Cleo from TV?" I said, "Yeah, man. You sure? Are you really Miss Cleo?" I said, "Yes, my dear." And they're like, "Oh, my goodness." I said, "Yes, Papa, but everybody ages, you know." And then he put on a different shirt and he came out and took a picture with me, and it was so wonderful and so delightful. And this is the thing, when you come back and you patronize these individuals, they work hard, man. They work through the summer. In those food trucks, there ain't no big time air conditioning, you know. And I just got to give some love out to them and much success. They are really quite a force to be reckoned with. So if you want to show them some love, if you're a local, go out, figure out where they're going to be. It's at BITE Gastro Truck, Bite Gastro Truck, yes. And they have just the best burgers. They always have birch soda, which I don't know how many Americans know about birch soda, but birch soda is some wicked good stuff. It's better than root beer. To me, it tastes a little less sweet than root beer. It reminds me more of Jamaican sarsaparilla. So I would have been remiss. And we also got to visit the boba station truck. It's like bubble tea. Wicked thing. I won't go into it, but so delicious. I had a Thai tea, a cold one, over ice. And my partner had, I think, green apple with lychee little bobos in it, these little drops that are in the middle. If you ever get a chance to try it, try it. If you'd like something that tastes fresh and different and unusual, that's the thing to go. So y'all know, I appreciate all of my poets on the line and all of my writers for being patient. But, you know, we got to give our love out to the small businesses, because that's what we do here at Conversations with Cleo. We give big ups to those making it happen and not looking for anybody else to save them. Then get out there, do what they do, and they're going to do it well. All righty then. Look here. We got folks on the line, but nobody has pressed the number one, which clearly means that you may not be ready recite your poem or join in with us. Uh-oh, somebody just hit a one. I love it. But check it out. I do want to say hello to two special people. And one is at home on bed rest, and I'm not really sure what's wrong with my buddy at Austin Riva. But normally he is, let me tell you, one of the hardest working people on the West Coast that I know. Normally he's out and about making things happen and working, but apparently he's a little bit under the weather. So Austin, darling, I want you to get better, but at least to my benefit, you are here with me this evening, and I hope that you enjoy all of the poetry and whatnot going on as we are just loving life, because that's what you do. Because if you hate on it, all you're doing is wasting a whole bunch of time and energy. Zin? All right. Well, we've got somebody. I'm going to let you know who you are. I know there's a slight delay. But somebody's calling from a 951 area code. So I am getting ready to bring you on the line right after this last special shout out. For all of you that are aware of the Wicked Poetry Society and Sisters in Rhyme, member, a loyal, wonderful member of that crew in the Wonderland where they make all of the wonderful poetry is Chaz Untamed. Now, Chaz had to be at her son's ball game tonight, and we know that takes precedence over open mic night and conversations with Cleo, but we are supporting her. And Chaz, she ain't no joke. My girl stay on top of her things. So we'll get a chance. She won't be here live, but because we have modern technology, Chaz and I got together off in the email verse, and she did send a piece for tonight's show. So we will not be denied Chaz Untamed's spoken word because we have put it all together. And it's right here, right now. All right, my dear. So now we are getting ready to go to the lines. We are going to sit back. I know I am as well. And enjoy some beautiful poetry, spoken word. No matter your subject matter, no matter how long. Well, I don't want it to be 20 minutes long. But, you know, whatever the case may be. Call up. Got a couple of pieces. Share with us, man. Because this is about creativity. We are moving into a creative vibration as we get ever closer to 2014. And we are moving into a very female vibration. And that's not just about women. It's just that female energy. All right. So 951, I'm coming to you right now.
Hello.
Good evening. You are on Conversations with Cleo. Who am I talking to?
Hi, beautiful. You're talking to Austin.
Hi, sweet pea. What's wrong with you?
I had a little problem from when I was a little kid that I finally got taken care of, so nothing too serious. Just have to be in bed for a couple days. But that permitted me to be off work on Thursday night, so I got to listen live for once.
I know. Bless your heart. You all, if you don't know, let me tell you something. This is one of my favorite Twitterverse friends that the Twitterverse was so, so gracious to me. And let me tell you something. Austin has been there from start. Austin was the first individual to buy my CD, Full Moon Madness. And I love him. He's supportive and wonderful, and I appreciate him.
I love you more.
Now, I want you to get rest, so you just go ahead and lounge back. I'm not going to bother you. I'm going to leave you there. And you like poetry, Austin? I know you do. Clearly, you bought my CD. You like poetry?
I do. You know Lesser is my favorite.
I know, right? I'm going to hook that up for you. Just for you this evening because you're feeling a bit under the weather. How about that?
That's good. And I brought a piece if you wanted me to read it.
Oh, I do. Oh, I love you. You're valiant. All right. Knock it out, everyone. At Austin Riva.
Okay, so this is something that I wrote about coming out as being gay. And I went to Christian school from kindergarten to graduating high school. So it was very interesting being gay in such a situation. This is a little piece I wrote about that. It's called Diagnose Me. This afternoon I was neurotic, thanks to sleep antibiotics, made some coffee and thought about the end. I never really noticed that I lack a certain closeness attributed to a mystery. I have friends up in the mountains, one coin in every fountain, but longevity is not my friend. Tell me who lives in the mansions, who holds parties filled with dancing when they should be answering my prayers. Diagnose me, I'm not okay. They say I'm lucky, everybody fucking loves me, but I'd rather just lay in bed. Money flows just like a river, like a snake, I'll always slither, because I'm too bruised to move. Diagnose me, I'm not okay. Tomorrow I'll still be neurotic, eating up antibiotics, take a candlelit bath and pray to the gods of Mount Olympus, because the one I went to school with doesn't care for the choices I make. And that is it.
Wow, honey, that's not just it. That's pretty powerful. You know, we are family in more ways than one. And
we certainly are.
Wow, wow, wow. You know, I went to Catholic school from first grade through I graduated, so I feel you.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult to hear how you're condemned to hell, but yet you can't deny what you feel, and all the people around you are just kind of your friends but your enemies at the same time, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people perceive it that it has gotten so much easier even in the last 20 years, and, you know, coming out, that is. And I got to tell you, it's different. I don't know that it's easier. You know what I'm saying? I just don't, because people will smile at you and be very hip, but then they have all these other kind of perceptions and precepts, and they want you to fit stereotypes, and it's difficult to even walk the journey. I mean, it's getting easier, I have to say, on some levels, but I gotta tell you, I got too many memories of it being so tough, you know, and just trying to feel okay. That one line in your poem where you said you were contemplating the end, you know, I really don't think that people understand how often that happens for young children, tweenagers, teenagers who are gay. Suicide is something that is often on the plate. And with that comes bullying and all the rest of that crap. But that bullying can happen in your own family. I've seen that. You know, so it's a difficult road to follow. I so appreciate you calling up, Star, and sharing that most intimate moment with us. You are just amazing.
Well, you're amazing, and thank you for allowing me to share it with everyone.
I love you, sweetheart. Don't worry, they'll be hailing you up as we go ahead and talk. You know, everybody likes to talk, and we're a supportive group on this show, which makes my heart sing, you know? I love that part. All right, baby boy, you hang in there and you hold on, all right?
I love you, Cleo.
I love you too, Austin. Feel better, baby boy. I'll holler at you later this weekend, all right? I'm going to check on you, you know, and make sure you're taking your medicine and doing everything you're supposed to be doing. All right,
I
know.
Will.
All right, baby boy. All right, everyone, that was Austin Riva with Diagnose Me. That was a powerful, powerful piece. Next, I'm coming to my caller, coming in from the 256 area code. Good evening. You're on Conversations with Cleo. How you doing, and who am I talking to?
Lady J.
What's happening, Lady J? Now, are you and V supposed to be doing one in tandem again?
Yeah,
part one
spoke.
And part two.
Yeah.
Okay.
She on the line with me. She on the line with me.
Oh, look at you two. Can I hear both of you? Let me do a test. Test one. Did I hear you?
Can you hear me, Ms. Cleo?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's late today.
Okay. I got everybody then. All right, y'all. You all remember how they tore it up last week. I don't know what they got in store for us this week. I would love a repeat, but we'll see. So we got Lady J, and we got At Soul Sister, but we all now affectionately just call her V. Y'all go ahead.
Well, this is a two-part. This is a two-part, so we're going to bring the one and two.
All right. Bring it, honey. Don't and bring it hard.
Confused and upset. I want to apologize to you. I crossed the line that wasn't even drawn. We were friends first, so this right here has truly thrown me off. Why won't you talk to me? You introduced me to a world I hadn't even gave a first glance to, but after a taste, can you blame me for my greedy advance? I'm not trying to sound selfish, but I want you all to myself. Yes, I have a man. Late nights while laying with him, I think of you. Leave him for you. What you're asking me to do? You and I have an unbreakable bond. Why would you want to mess that up? Don't look at me like that. Talk to me. We were friends first. Why can't you understand my position in the situation that wasn't supposed to come about, that has magnified from a mustard seed into something that it could never be? I'm yours and you're mine, but to give you all of me, that just can't be. I already have to deal with the side-eye glances, accusations tossed about, borderline verbal abuse, all the while trying to figure out who is he. How could I face the love of my life, tell him there was never a he, but a she? Calm down. Don't talk to me like that, like the thought of me is purely disgusting. You won't even allow my name to leave your lips. You said no matter what, you keep it real with me. We were friends first. Damn it, talk to me. So let me get this straight. You don't understand why I'm so hurt and upset? I love you, but you love him. What part of that don't you get? Oh, I understand. So I was good enough to fuck, but you can only be with a man? What? I'm not worthy of your love and affection? You think he's the only one that can be your security and protection? Yeah, I know we were friends first, but we chose to cross that line. You should have known that feelings were going to get involved at some point in time. When we made love, the way you moaned my name made me feel like I was your one and only. But ever since he found out, ain't nothing been the same. And you act like you don't even want me. You say it's because you're married? You have got to be shitting. So now that you're feeling guilty, you want to break my heart? You took the vows. I didn't. You wasn't thinking about your vows when you climbed in my bed, wanting me to hold you tight. And you would always say, I give the greatest head. Wait a minute. This shit don't even sound right. But you know what? I don't even blame you. I blame myself because I'm a lot more intellectual. What the fuck was I thinking messing with a married woman, let alone a bisexual, a trisexual, curious, whatever the fuck you call yourself? No, I won't calm down because I'm hurt as hell and it feels like I have nothing left. But what do you care, right? It doesn't apply to you. You get to go back home to your man. You can't possibly feel the hurt that I do because being in love with another woman is something that you will never understand. I played the pawn in your game of chess, but this will never happen ever again. So now it's time to lay this friendship to rest because I can never see you as only my friend. I'm done. The aftermath. I can't believe this shit. This chick had the nerve to be mad at me. Now you want to be pissed because my husband, I didn't choose to diss? Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, I took the vows with him. I tried to apologize, but fuck it. She ain't got to forgive me. I took a temporary lapse in judgment, and for that, the blame falls on me. So now she want to take shots at me? I didn't ask for a heart. She gave that willingly. Did she say she was more intellectual? Yeah, she's the one still calling and texting me. What do I look like responding when this house I got to fix? Yeah, she was good for fuck, listening and holding me, but let's be honest. Let me keep it all the way real. When the fuck did I promise her any damn thing? She chose to fill shoes that were never vacated. Now she mad because this I won't validate? There she go again, blowing up my phone. Let me go over and talk face to face. Yeah, this friendship I'm a miss, but let's keep this real. She keep talking to me like this. Damn it, now I'm pissed. This shit can't be real life. How the fuck she gonna flip this on me when I'm single but she's somebody's wife? Oh, she wanna be vindictive? Well, I can do it better. I already got her ass addicted. He makes her wet, but I can make her wetter. So since it's been a couple of weeks, I guess I'll invite her over for a drink. Now, what can I do for revenge? Let me think. It has to be something that I know will hurt. I mean, fuck her feelings. She wasn't thinking about mine when she treated me like dirt. Like I told her before, we can't just be friends, but let's fuck one last time before we completely end. I did her body so good, I made her orgasm twice. I made sure that she will remember this moment for the rest of her life. After I was done, there was no cuddling and kissing. This time was very different from the rest because my love for her was missing. When she looked in my eyes, she didn't see anything there. I saw the pain on her face, but at this point, I didn't even care. She got dressed, grabbed all her belongings, and ran for the door. She didn't see the shoes there, so she tripped, stumbled, and landed on the floor. I stood there and watched as the tears streamed down her face. She shook her head with shame, and her expression showed disgrace. When she opened the door to walk out, another woman was walking in. Who was that, baby? Oh, nobody. She used to be my friend. I closed the door. She stood there looking shocked and amazed. The old me would have felt so bad, but the scorned me didn't even feel fazed. An hour later, I received this message. I can't believe you did me like that. I'm so hurt. I'm having trouble breathing. So I replied back with this simple text. You know that the pain you're feeling? Consider us even. And peace.
Wow. All right. You all stepped away, went back to Wonderland and tightened that. Woi! Woi, woi, woi. I heard the name this time that I didn't hear the first time. I don't even know. But, you know, I have to ask. I didn't ask last show. But how did you all create this? How did this piece come about?
It actually came from a concept that it's a real-life situation. Not me, but an associate of mine. And so I just tossed Lady J the concept, and we hung up. We wrote our pieces separately, and then we came together, actually on both parts. You know, we and they just went so well together.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, that it sounds real. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't even sound like somebody came away and thought, well, I know this happens, let me create this. It did sound very, very real.
I kind of experienced it a little bit. So mine was kind of personal to a certain extent. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was my question to you, because you sound, in your response, it's 100 star.
Yeah, because I can feel the emotion. So for the, you know, the married woman to be like, she didn't understand why the lesbian was so upset. I mean, you know what I'm saying? She knew the deal, but she practically just led her on because she kept coming back for more. And so the girl caught feelings, and she's acting naive. And so, you know, when somebody's like, when your feelings in and a person act like they don't know why, that shit piss you off. So I already know. So shit, I went ham.
Yeah. Lady J, don't hold nothing back, man. Tell me how you feel about it.
Oh, I ain't gonna hold. I don't never hold nothing back. You already know.
No, it's interesting. Maybe the straight women out there may not get it. You know, and we're not being offensive. There's nothing wrong with straight women. There's nothing wrong with bisexual women. But I probably am old enough to be Lady J's mom. And I'll tell you, we had a hard and steadfast, unwritten rule in the lesbian community back in my heyday, and it was, you don't date straight women. Done deal.
Right.
Especially if they got a man. You know,
right.
Because that just makes for mad, crazy, ridiculous drama.
Right.
But that don't keep nobody from doing it, though. You understand? That don't keep nobody from doing it.
Right.
I ain't putting all of my business out on Front Street, so I ain't saying nothing. Yeah, boy, it'll be fucking news. I love that. You all have a piece individually that you'd like to drop a little bit later in the show, or you want to drop it now?
Let me drop it a little later for me. Yeah, well, I'll come back later, too. I got something, though.
Okay, cool. Cool, well, we'll come. Don't y'all go nowhere. We'll come back. I think I got Miss Pete on the line, and then I'm going to spit a couple of them for y'all that y'all have never heard. These ones have not found their way onto any CD. So we're going to hit up. We're going to 609, and you all hang on. Don't go nowhere. Miss V, I'm Miss Lady J. We're going to make everybody a Miss this evening. That ain't no Miss, it's Miss. Good evening. You're on Conversations with Cleo. How you doing this evening, and who am I talking to?
Hello, Miss Cleo. This is Miss PD. How are you?
I knew that.
You knew that? I know you did.
I am wonderful, darling. How you doing?
I'm great. I just want to quickly give a big shout-out to Austin for stepping up to the mic, being the first one to recite. I really, you know, enjoyed that poem. Very, very nice. And then Lady J in Valencia, oh, my goodness. I'm over here, like, fanning myself at that poem. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. I love my sisters. I love them to death. They just brought it tonight, and I'm proud of them.
They really did. They rocked the mic. They didn't let a sister down. Going on it all, boy. That's a
wicked
piece.
Right.
I love that. So what you got for us this evening, Miss PD?
I just have a little something that I wrote this morning. It's not on the level of those two ladies, but it'll get the job done.
We don't judge anything here. You know better, so don't you judge yourself.
I know. I tell people that all the time. I know. All right, here we go. Heightened senses to promises of tomorrow leave me inspired. Walk with me. I build on the foundation God had placed beneath my feet. Crucial, I tread lightly. I draw from the rise of the sun as new energy brings life. Soak up the vibrations of time which echoes me into the light. I know no boundaries. You cannot hinder of what I am meant. See, the shield placed around my spirit is of the most high. From your negativity, I'm exempt. Focus on me and indulge what I can offer and enlighten to you. The best of who you are is all I want to see in you, as he does me. Chosen to be the positive change of inspiration and growth. Within you, the light flickers just waiting to shine in full glow. I am not your enemy, nor do I accept you as mine. Together we are meant to balance the harmony of the unique creative souls entwined. So I say again, walk with me. See the vision. Be open and renewed to a higher sense of purpose. The star in you will shine bright once you realize the higher being you are serving. We walk like the sun. We shine like the sun. Glow like the moon. Sparkle like the stars of the universe. Endless. Walk with me. Open your mind. Breathe in. Take a step. Now. Live it. The end.
Okay, now I don't know how you want to judge yours because there is no comparison. You understand? That was deep. And that was this
Thank
morning.
You.
I hope you all heard that. She sat down and she wrote that this morning.
Yeah, I wrote it just for your
beautiful.
Show. Just for your show. Just for you.
You know what? You just make me feel so special now.
I did. I've been so excited about this show tonight. I said, I have to write. I can't recite something I already have. Going on Miss Cleo's show tonight, I got to get respect. I have to write something brand new. So
that
there
was,
it is.
You know what?
For you.
That was so beautiful, the essence. I was actually sharing that with someone the other day of that living right now and not giving up your power to people's negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
their negativity, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I felt like you were listening to a conversation I had. You know, it was so right there in my soul, that vibration. And I hope that folks out there everywhere, because right now we got a lot of negativity flowing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We got a lot of,
yes.
And people need to have vision. They do. They need to have that creativity right at their soul. And for those of you who don't know, who are tuning in tonight, haven't tuned in for a while, whatever the case may be, see some tweets on in the Twitterverse from other folks that may be tuning in that have not listened to conversations with Cleo before, but PD and I are friends. Miss PD and I are friends, and she is a phenomenal heart individual. You understand? And by that I mean that every piece of her passion, her compassion, her intensity, her humor, it comes from a place of heart. But when you're a person who is a place of heart, people can easily hurt your feelings because they disappoint you. You give them too much credit. You give them too much benefit of the doubt. And sometimes it takes a little while to get healed from that kind of thing. But I am here to tell you, darling, that no matter how many of those people cross your path, it will be such a much longer line of those individuals that come with that same heart that you do that will be there to hold you up always and to celebrate your accomplishments, because you are quite formidable.
Miss Cleo, my hat's off to you. You don't even realize how you just made my night. I mean, and it's people like you, pure spirits like you, who gives me the reason, you know, to keep pushing and keep doing what I do, because I just want to see everybody shine. And like you said, I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You know, you put the positive out there and it's not returned, it can, you know, get to you. But then I come across, you know, people like you who show me everybody's not that way. And you got to hold on to the ones who are holding on to you. And that's what I attach myself to and just keep it moving. So I thank you. And everything you say to me, I take it to heart. I have so much respect for you. So I thank you very much.
Well, it's just a respect fest because, Star, you make me smile. You give me hope. I say that to you all the time. You give me hope. I don't have to worry, you know, that the good creation won't be created. You understand? For those of you out there that know your Bible a little bit, there was a passage back in the day, long time ago, one of Peter's letters, I want to say to the Corinthians, but it may have been to the Colossians. Say, Miss Cleo, know her Bible. Don't romp. Don't get me twisted, people. and it was, you know, because folks like to twist up, Missy.
Yes, I know.
So, but it used to be something that inspired me, probably at age 20, 21. It was a hard time in my life. And I remember reading where Peter was saying goodbye, and he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course, and I'm going home. And I thought about that the other day while I was meditating, and I said, you know, I need to change that up because I'm tired of fighting the good fight. I want to create the good creation. You understand? No disrespect to Brother Peter, but I'm tired of fighting. I want to create. You understand?
I love it.
Transition to that I myself personally I'm getting ready to make. So your piece was so inspirational, and you and V and Lady J and Chas and LaDonna, oh my goodness, you all, you really you make me smile. You make me smile. And speaking
those are my
of
diamonds, I love them.
I know they're your diamonds. Oh, how wonderful is that? My God, it's so beautiful. It is such a wonderful, warming thing to hear women, first of all, be supportive of women. And then to have people within their artistry be supportive of each other. And poets, you know, people don't know what to do with poets all the time. They're not sure. They're like lyricists without music. They're not really writers. Yes, they are. Poets are so important to the vibration of this world. Mm-hmm. I wish people understood how important. All right, my dear, I'm going to put you back on hold. We are going to upload and put on Chas Untamed. And like I said, I love that gal. She put her stuff together and made sure that I had it. So we are going to go ahead and let's see. We're going to start out with a little Ego Tripping by Nikki Giovanni. And then we are going to pull up in rotation Chas Untamed with I'm Not a Bitchy Girl. Is that going to be a wicked?
I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built a Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine, perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I'm a gazelle, so swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was 3, I gave my son, Hannibal, an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son, Noah, built new ark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus. Men intone my loving name. All praises, I am the one who would say. I sowed diamonds in my backyard. My bowels delivered uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned, and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal. I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.
All right, y'all. Now we are getting ready to play. I'm Not a Bitchy Girl by Chas Untamed in the Twitterverse and Cressida in the Real World.
I'm not a girly bitch by Untamed. I'm not one of those girly bitches. But don't mistake it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But it's just not me. I'm just not the cookie, bacon, mushy type. I won't be in your face trying to cuddle and embrace. Yeah, I like loving. But if we don't hold hands, my world won't end. You don't have to tell me you love me every 5 seconds to try to impress me. And you don't have to wonder what I really want to say, because I'm going to keep it real and tell you exactly how I feel, because I'm not a girly bitch. Buying flowers and taking me to the movies all to try to please me, yeah, it's cool. But if you want to get next to me, take me to the gun range, build up my aim game. Let's converse on things that build the mind, and when we spend time, we don't always have to be out on the scene trying to be seen. We can kick back and chill for a bit, staring at each other as we sit and sip on a beer while we watch the game, or I lay on the sofa and you do the same, and just be at peace with where we're at. Those are the moments I won't forget, because I'm just not a girly bitch. It's a lot of shit that I put up with. I carry a load, and I may not have a smile on my face, but you never see a trace, because I'm not going to be crying all over the place. But even though my exterior is calm, you have to reach my spiritual realm. You have to be willing to dig deep within, because although my diamond shines bright, you have to uncover the hidden treasures within, because I'm just not a girly bitch. But don't get it twisted and miss it. I still need love too, and your true intentions must shine through. Because just because I'm not a girly bitch, don't mean I'm not a girl, bitch. I'll be your queen, but you have to be my king. And that's when you'll see just how to bring the girl out of me.
That was at Chaz Untamed. I'm not a girly bitch. That was wicked. I got to bring some folks out. Boy, look here. Chaz Untamed, darling, when you listen to the playback, wicked, wicked, wicked. I love that. That was off the heezy. And you all again, what a sweet girl. She made sure she recorded it. Soon as she found out she wasn't going to be able to make it. And we did all of this morning via email and whatnot. And wow, thank you again, Chaz. That was amazing. Now we're going to go to someone who is calling me in from an 803 number. And we are going to go ahead and bring you to the mic and welcome you to Conversations with Cleo. Let's see, make sure I can push the right button. Lord Jesus. Good evening and welcome to Conversations with Cleo. How you doing and who you talking? Who am I talking to?
Hello, Miss Cleo. This is Ashley Kirby Vixen Chambers.
Well, hello, Ashley. Welcome. And what would you, Ashley, Christina?
No, this is Ashley, Miss Evilicious on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Sorry, darling. Sometimes folks play games on me. Look here. Welcome, and thank you so much. I'm getting a little old, too. I'll take any excuse I can. Thank you so much for calling in. And what would you do? Do you have a piece that you would like to share with us this evening?
I do. I have a piece called I've Changed, and it's basically me overcoming domestic violence.
Enough respect, Star. Please, whenever you're ready.
I change. Not everyone knows how to adapt to change, especially the new me. He don't like this. He don't like that. My hair, the way I dress, down to the color on my toes. The few pounds I lost in my waist, what a disgrace if he think I did it for him. Looking at the mirror on the wall, I see a reflection of a beautiful Amazon. I like this, and I like that, as I point at myself. Reflecting over my life, I've been through a lot of shit, took a lot of lip. I had bruises. I had a lot of scars. But that's the past. And today, I refuse to stand nothing less but tall. I will never let a man define me or think I need him. I am the owner of me. The image you see, I know I don't look like what I've been through. No more cries or feelings of self-pity. I would do me and love me dearly. I don't care about your insecurities. They have nothing to do with me. It's time for you to wake up. Yes, I have on makeup. Yes, I own a sexy dress. I have come out my shell, a new woman, a beautiful pearl. Take me as I am, or have nothing at all. Yes, I change. That's the end.
Wow, Ashley, that is beautiful, darling. And so I take it from the fact that the way that the poem went along, you are safe now and you recognize how amazing a queen and a jewel that you are, correct?
Oh, yes, ma'am. That was my past. It's just piece of very period for me. Realize what I've been through and where I am today. So,
right.
I hope that's someone out there who's going through something.
Right. Right. Well, are you feeling you're strong now and you're moving through and you recognize that anything that steps to you has to be stepping to you correctly?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
I heard that, darling. I heard that. Well, I so appreciate you. You know, domestic violence happens everywhere. And I think that people would like to put it in a box. I think it only happens in certain cultures. It only happens in certain economic statuses. But domestic violence happens everywhere. And it's very near and dear, the whole issue to my heart. Because I, too, am a survivor, but I refer to myself as a victor of domestic violence. What may be shocking to many of my listeners is that the domestic violence I experienced was in a lesbian relationship. Domestic violence as it being male on female violence. And it happens every way. It happens women on men, it happens men to men, and it happens women to women, my dears. And none of us, no matter who you are, deserve to be verbally berated, deserves to be touched in any kind of malice, mean-spirited, beat-down way. It's not for you. I don't care how much you think you might love that person ain't loving you, and guess what? You ain't loving you either. You are worse more.
It's not love. That's what women think, is because he's hitting you, that he loves you, but that's not love.
Exactly.
Love doesn't hurt like that.
No, it doesn't, darling. It does not. And love certainly does. I got a goosebump, and I have so much respect for you. And trust me that you call and your spirit is very peaceful. But there's no telling whose soul you touched tonight, darling. And for that, I thank you. You touched mine. And there are women out there who may be tuning in. This may be their one little solace. Once a week to be able to laugh or do whatever. And you spoke to somebody's heart tonight, and I appreciate you and I thank you for sharing your story, Ashley.
Thank you, Ms. Cleo. You have a good night.
You have a great weekend, darling. All right, now.
Bye-bye.
Boy, I am telling you, I got goosebumps. I'm having a hot flash and goosebumps all at the same time. It's very, very confusing. All right, we're going to our next poet. Hello, darling. Welcome to Conversations with Cleo. How you doing this evening, and who am I talking to? Hello? Hello? Kidoki. I think we might have been having a technical difficulty there. So whoever was calling me in from 601 area code, you pushed your number one. I went to you. So I'm not sure. Mercury is retrograde or just about there. And so it's going to get popping. So in this moment, I think I'm going to go ahead and slip in. And, I was saying earlier, tired of fighting the good fight I want to create. And as I am starting to let go of what is typically and has been for the majority of my adult life, a very passionate political, and maybe political is not the right term, but a revolutionary energy in my soul for a very, very long time. And as I bring 2013 to a close, I am going to let that burden go. And I'm going to focus on creating things that are about creation, that are about growth, and not so much pointing out the problem. But in the moment, and after the last 2 weeks that we have had in this country, I have to bring to the table, as I do with so many my heroes, both of them you all know, Professor Nikki Giovanni and Gil Scott-Heron. There are a few more, but these two you will often hear on my show because they are the fabric and the foundation for my poetry. It's funny, this next piece that I'm going to do is quite interesting. I actually performed it at Osceola Street Cafe when I was there last month. And we're in the studio, we go back and forth with it, and it actually worked with a dear friend of mine on it, and he's a guitarist, and he did the musical portion, and then I did spoken word. And this piece was written, oddly, I very seldom date my work, but this one I did, and so I can tell you exactly when it was written, January 10th, 2011. Nostradamus said it, hell, he even wrote it down, and no one believed him, not now, not then. Instead, they believe in religious zealots who specialize in committing social sin. Here it is, 2010, well into the 21st century, so much has changed, yet so much remains the same. Crying, weeping, screaming for justice, honesty, compassion, and humanity from the well-dressed elite who profit big time from global insanity. Wakata gani and Wisho, when does it end? In the year of our Lord 2010, advancements in science, math, physics, and space travel in a plethora of new ideas and applications, once dream, now reality. Yet the mentality seems to be all about the us and the them. No obvious war, but all they focus on is the win. Are they blind? Do they feel? Can they hear? The crying, the weeping, the screaming for justice, honesty, compassion, and humanity. Accountability, anyone? Responsibility for the current state of affairs? If you're not wise, we'll think you don't care. Righteous indignation, raised eyebrows, wagging fingers, hateful whispers, devious machinations. No answers. Instead, an extended invitation to a worldwide event, free admission, front row seats, and as a precaution, check your intelligence. These bad actors fought hard and paid dearly for their 15 minutes of fame. So without further ado, one and all, welcome to the blame game. Lawama Incheso. Be a part of history as if we had a choice. Get out and vote for a new day, a new world. Ha ha, new voice. Feast your eyes on a world economy. It's a digital age and there are no more boundaries. A Walmart nation from sea to oil slicked sea. China, India, Russia, and Croatia. It's a global party. Meet your lobbyists, key members of new government eager to dictate how your hard-earned money is spent. They are busy entertaining the consumer's every whim. Show me the money, blow me the next bubble, heavy on the obvious, light on the subtle. And by the way, make that organic, free-range, gluten-free, low-fat latte a double. The green machine scheme has to last for at least another 30 years to recoup the money lost. No worries, just pump up the fear. That should hide the real cost. It's not our fault. They say the Democrats are all wrong. They say the Republicans let you down. The terrorists stole our safety. Politicians snatched our privacy. The poor are draining us dry. The rich are robbing us blind. God is angry. Lucifer is stronger. The last days are upon us, and well, hell, the planet is just going to melt down around us. Wakatagani and Wisho, when will it end? No time soon, my friend, so please pick up your free reusable index finger before exiting so you might participate in this ongoing blame game debate. Don't be alarmed when the finger is pointed at you. Slowly step away from the mirror, cover your eyes, and download your favorite iTunes. Can you hear the crying, the weeping, the screaming for justice, honesty, compassion, and humanity? And when the curtain comes down, the epitaph will read, no one's fault. Plenty enough blame to go around. Lawama imchezo, wakatagani imwisho. Nibasa imwisho, lawama imchezo. All right, my dears. Lawama, that is Swahili, and lawama imchezo literally translates to the blame game. And the reason I thought it was funny, because I have heard that term probably 100 times in the last 2 weeks, because we have so diligently watched our politicians engage in just such a game, as have we. And at the top of the show, I said, we have to put the blame on all of us. Okay, I'm going to knock out this next one. And this one is, I would like to think this one is a little historical, with a little bit of education, and of course, with a generous sprinkling of Cleo. And it is entitled 538. Numbers have always held an important role in the scheme of the world, layered between the pages of history dating back to the BC and AD of old. Let's see, there's 50 states, 7 days a week, 12 months in a year, 12 jurors of your peers, and we know that, George Zimmerman had that. We got three branches of government while we have been held hostage by only one. There are seven continents. There are 28 days in February, and I still don't understand that one. And then they gave it to us for Black History Month. An accepted measure of quantity, space, and time. 10 million undocumented immigrants. 2 billion a week on the Iraq War, which is supposed to be over, which will lead us to a $1 trillion deficit, bumping our heads on the debt ceiling, dangerously dangling over the fiscal cliff. Change the values, you change the outcome. Did you know that the Earth is only 8 light minutes from the sun? Numbers signal the start of a new day, triggering old memories, reminds us of past joy and pain. Let's see, 65 Watts Rebellion, 6 days. 34 deaths. Assassination of MLK in the fourth month on the fourth day set a course and paved the way for the 19th Olympiad in the summer of 68. 80, Lenin's life cut short. 81, the royal wedding. 89, President Reagan uttered those words, Mr. Gorbachev, tear that wall down. 91, the Soviet Union is no more. 92, L.A. riots. I was there, and that was a bitch. 2000, presidential election, and we still don't get that one. 2005, Hurricane Katrina arrived. 174 mile-per-hour winds, 902 millibars, 1,833 lives lost. A devastating Cat 5. And at the site of the Twin Towers, a solemn whisper, 9/11, nevermore. 538, a most powerful number, a number that inspires greatness and invokes fear, a number that has determined the direction of the Western free world for more than 200 years. 538, born in 1776, ratified in 1788, 435 for the House, 100 for the Senate, and 3 for Washington, D.C., finding a comfortable home in the 23rd Amendment. There have been more than 700 proposals over the last 50 elections to reform or to completely eliminate the 538. Failed attempts litter the halls of Congress and the White House. Evolutionary design followed by poor execution. A change would be nothing short of amending the United States Constitution. If I might be so bold in my attempt to explain the confusion and share the knowledge, may I introduce to you your United States Electoral College. Do you know who they are? Have any idea what they look like? Did you get a copy of their resume? I know I didn't. What have they done for you? Well, matter of fact, what have they done to you? I don't know, because they ain't done nothing for me. The 538 have a standing date every 4 years. They pick your president. Ha ha! Now it all makes sense. That's how Al Gore won the popular vote and G-Dub got the job of running Washington. As clear as I can understand, and let me tell you something, they don't make it easy. The 538 are chosen by politicians, and then there are politicians, politicians. In recent decades, some have suggested that the president be chosen solely by the people's vote. But the answer still remains no. One of democracy's interesting little loopholes, a well-kept secret, but we, as the Republic, have the power to change it. Write your congressman, honey, call your senator. Tell them not to insult your intelligence. Tell them you don't need the Electoral College. Tell them you are perfectly capable of choosing your own president. All right, we're going to go back to the phone call that's coming in from area code 601 and see if we have our technical issues taken care of and see if we can't get that poet on the line. Good evening. You are on with Conversations with Cleo. Who am I talking to and how you doing?
Hey, Miss Cleo, this is LaDonna Marie.
I thought that was you, LaDonna, but my memory gets shaky sometimes. How you doing, sweetie?
I'm doing good. You doing good. That's good. You doing good. Yeah, my phone was muted.
What happened?
I had my phone muted, so when you were talking, I was talking to you.
Oh, so you didn't get no feedback. Right, okay.
Yeah. So we're good now.
Oh, excellent. What you going to share with us tonight, LaDonna? Because I know you got something, honey.
Well, I have this poem called I Can't Make You, and it was something that I just wrote a couple weeks ago, so I wanted to share it. It says, I can't make you. Lesson learned. I used to think if I was extra nice, called you all the time for you to know that I was there, cooked for you, brought you food, that you would see my sincerity, but I learned I can't make you. I used to think that if I dropped everything to put you first, that you would see my dedication, but I learned I can't make you. I used to think that all the time we spent going out and dating, that it meant eternity, and that you would stay, but I learned I can't make you. I used to think that if I gave you all the love I had in my heart, if I wrote you poems, if I sung you songs and left you long, sweet notes, that you would appreciate my heart and love me too. But I guess I learned the hard way. I can't make you feel what I feel. I learned I can't make you. And that's the end.
Wow, that's beautiful, Mommy. That is just beautiful. Hang on the line. I'm getting ready to bring the girls back on because I believe V,
okay,
or Lady
okay.
J had a second one. We're going to bring PD. We're bringing you back in.
Okay.
All righty then. Where,
V,
where you at, man?
Just Lady J.
I know.
I think
V
on her own line.
Oh, she's
I don't know.
Line.
I think her phone hung up or something. I don't know what happened.
Oh, maybe there she is. Okay, hold on. Don't go nowhere. So, sister, you there?
I'm here. I didn't know that. I'm here. I didn't know what I was doing. I just heard my name.
You got
don't
your
judge me. Anyway.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Hello,
everybody say good evening. You got
good
your
evening,
second
everybody.
Piece, Valencia?
I do have my, second piece locked, loaded, and ready.
All right, honey. Well, then fire away.
Oh, I got to go first?
Don't
you know that? You know, I get put on the spot and just like
girl, go.
Okay, all right. Dedicated to, well, the theme of the night, open mic. I am a spoken word poet, but you make me want to be. You make me want to grab the mic and make love to it. Show everybody what you do to me. Caress their minds with my words. Make them feel how I feel when you touch me. I ain't a spoken word poet, but for you I gotta be. I gotta express my feelings. Let them bleed out of me like somebody stabbed me. Make somebody clap, snap, damn it, they gonna feel me. Yeah, shit's just that good. Wait, let me calm down. You know chicks are watching, listening, taking notes, waiting, wondering how they can fit in. I know they couldn't give two fucks about me. All they want to know is how they can feel like I feel because my voice delivers that heat, that passion makes. When they stare in my eyes, they see a reflection of you. They really want to know if I'm lying. I ain't a spoken word poet. So for now, for you, my pen will continue to bleed poetry.
All
wow.
right, girl. That was good.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You
snap,
got a working
snap.
Girl.
Snap, snap.
I'm trying to tell you, boy, because you all are some fierce poets, man. I mean, really fierce. Wow. My goodness.
Well thank
you. Well, everybody's on the line right now, except for a few people that don't have question marks by their name. But I really have to take my hats off to each and every one of you because, and including with Chaz, you know, she's in absentia, but she is still represented here. I appreciate you all taking the time to come and make conversations with Cleo so special. You know what I'm saying? You all were actually the inspiration for me to do an open mic like this because I love what Lady J and V did last week on the show, and I thought, you know, I would love to create that vibration. And so this is me stepping out of that mm-hmm. that other stuff, which is valid, but just to create, because I walk away feeling really good. You understand? Mm-hmm. I walk away. Matter of fact, my best friend was listening to the show last week, and Lady J and Soul Sister, she was loving it. She thought the piece was banging. It was really, and she's family too, Lady J. So I've started to tease her freely off the charts. And she's listening tonight because I had told her that, you know, we were going to be doing up mic night. And she's a hard-working somebody. So I always appreciate good evening, dog. Enough respect for tuning in. But you all what I do so simple, so easy, and so wonderful. Now, I'm hoping to get Lady J, you got another piece for us, ma'am?
Yeah, I got a piece I just wrote last night, actually.
Well, then,
go in.
This piece is called I'm Stingy. I'm stingy as fuck, and I have every reason to be. If she's my queen, it makes no damn sense for somebody else to be getting the same royalties as me. That ass is mine, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, with each breath she takes and every single heartbeat. I cherish my lady like a blank canvas that has yet to be painted. I won't let someone else's breath stroke something that's not tainted. I'm the only one who should be deep-sea diving in her ocean of dreams. I call her thoughts a drug because they made me a fiend. And making love to this woman? I love her taste. I make sure to get every drop of her juice. I can't let that go to waste. I love the way she holds me down whenever I need a hand. And if you ain't never had a real one by your side, that's something you can never understand. Now you see why I'm so stingy? I mean, fuck, can you blame me? I used to be kind of wild until she came along and tamed me. Now I just be a good girl and do what she say. It turns on when I'm submissive because she loves to play. Foreplay, role play, it's all the same. As long as I'm the only player in her bedroom game. So like I said before, I'm stingy as fuck. And all that milk chocolate is strictly for me. Shit, when you got something so sweet, thick, and creamy, stingy is the only way to be. And peace.
Wow.
Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead. Good
dog.
That's right.
Yes. That was crazy. That was wild. I love it. My dog said, I'm stingy, yo. That was
oh
a deep
goodness.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
I'm glad y'all like that piece.
Oh, yeah.
You notice she said that now. I'm going to ask a really rude question. Lady J, so that was before or that was after?
Oh, wow.
Wow, really? You like that, though?
Come on, dog. Man, come on, no.
When I got somebody that, you know, I don't have to share with anybody else, I'm stingy with them, you know what I'm saying? When I get a lady to myself, I'm single right now, but, you know, when I'm with somebody, I'm stingy. Ain't no sharing.
All right, well, I just wanted to make sure, because in case you have anybody listening out there, I didn't want them to get the wrong message. So if you now you all heard that lady,
hey, hold on. I'm single,
right,
lady.
She's single, man.
Single.
So that's what you can look forward to, though. Uh-huh. You all make me act out, boy. I tell you, it's too funny. So, come on, Miss PD. I know you got another piece for us, LaDonna too. Don't try and get out of it. Come on now. Bring it.
I do. I have a single piece. The V has already hit me up behind the scenes about doing a collab that her and I did as well. So
I love it. I'm always blasting me, though. Like,
yes,
I have to blast you. You keep hitting me up behind the scenes, but here we go. this is a piece. Miss Cleo, this piece that I'm going to recite right now is about 11 years old. So
beautiful.
It's old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's called The Moon Only Glows as Bright as the Darkness It Sets Upon. The moon only glows as bright as the darkness it sets upon. To walk with midnight doesn't mean you can't vision dawn. From a distance, all things may seem beautiful, yet if you only look from afar, how do you know it's not an illusion? Baby steps versus one giant leap can slowly bring thoughts into focus, all the while enjoying your air and finding beauty in things you never before noticed. Unlimit your mind. Reach deep into your core. Escape into a world that holds no shackles upon the door. Failure doesn't know your name. Envy has no clout. Foolish is the mind who believes barriers are set about. People have once died, their blood spilled,
ridicule, torture, and disgrace for a better future to be filled. Yet here we are by the side of the road, dreaming, wishing and hoping to share the spotlight while others pass us by, scheming. See, they understand the weakness you project provides all the strength they need to grab the rest of the pie that's left. So go ahead and grab a backbone. Stop wishing on the star, because the moon only glows as bright as the darkness it sets upon.
Wow, very nice.
Yes.
Wow, and that was 11 years old, huh?
Wow.
11 years old, yes.
Wow. 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 No, all right, come on, Miss LaDonna.
Okay. Okay, I'm gonna do something different. I'm gonna do something different. This is the first time. Okay, ladies. This piece is called Tight Places.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I'm gonna show y'all my other side.
Come on, Melissa.
Sookie now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tight Places. So we decided to take a drive. We have been cooped up all day. People congregating at the house, no privacy at all. I wore my sundress that you like. At the chance that we could eventually sneak away unnoticed, driving down Main Street, we decided to be spontaneous. We entered the car wash. You looked at me, I looked at you. As your thumb slipped in between my inner thigh and you pulled my panties off, rapidly tossed to the back seat. I reminded you to pay. The buzzer announced we had 10 minutes. We had been in tight places before, so I anxiously placed my body in the middle of you and the steering wheel. Your poetic muscle bounced my body up and down, instantly relieving our sexual frustration. As I wrapped my legs around your seat, our bodies met. With the water beating on the window, my moans would drown. With the friction between you and I, each stroke, I beamed, gently begging for more in our tight place at the car wash. In peace.
I knew you was a freak. I knew you was a little freak. Trying to be all good.
I knew it too. I knew it too, yeah.
No, you did.
Oh, we knew. All right.
I liked it. Loved it.
Yeah, that was hot.
I'm never going to a car wash with the same mindset.
Okay, well, I'm glad I liked it.
I'm going to be turning my car wash next time. I'll be like,
Wow.
Only I can share that with you ladies. You know what I'm saying? Y'all bring out all types of stuff. I said, let me try something different. But thank you.
That was hot.
I know. I'm going to look for my something different, but I don't have it right now. And my boss would probably get mad, you know. I got to always give out love to my boss, Mr. LDC at LDC Management, Mr. LaVon Collins, the best manager in the country, if you ask me. I did make
That's
a promise
right.
at the top of the show, ladies, so just hang in there with me. And I'm sending this one out to both Austin Riva as well as to Lady J and my dog and the rest of the folks that don't have the same bloodline, but we call ourselves family.
Yes, sir.
Over the last 50-some-odd years, I have struggled and worked hard to get comfortable in my own skin. From the time I was born, someone, somewhere, deemed that there was something wrong with me. Enough people believe that you choose your parents and your destiny. I have looked at the concept, reviewed the theory, and I respectfully disagree. For I would not have chosen to be a black pygmy and a sheep. Because when I arrived on the scene, being black wasn't a good thing at all, at least not how it looked to me. Let me skip ahead in order to keep a long story short to the time in my life when I became aware of my sexuality. I knew that
I love women. Got nothing but mad love for men, but only a woman could steal my heart. And once again I was compelled to recognize that someone somewhere deemed that something was wrong with me. Someone asked me what hurts worse. There was no hesitation on my part, racism apart. They asked, isn't it the same thing? I replied, no, it's not the same thing. And then again, maybe it is, or better yet, maybe it's the lesser of two evils. The conversation came back to me as I sat under the mango tree, wishing I could have spoken words to help someone somewhere understand. So I asked myself, why does it hurt worse if someone somewhere calls me a nigger rather than a bull dagger or a dyke? Why does it hurt worse if I am pigeonholed and profiled as an angry black woman that fits the description of someone who might steal, instead of someone somewhere sneering and casting looks at me for holding my girlfriend's hand? Why does it hurt so bad when I think about the president's children and how hard it must be for he and the first lady to protect their black pygmy from all the hate-filled, ignorant words that run rampant over the airwaves, instead of being saddened and dismayed by another failed attempt to make it legal for married people to be gay? Why? Because I'm black. Someone somewhere might say, that's too simple a cop-out. Then let me break it down this way. I never got pulled over by the police for walking home at night because I was gay. I was never ignored at a diner or a restaurant, which happened to be in the white, I mean in the right part of town, because I was gay. I don't worry about driving through a good neighborhood at night because I'm gay. I was never underpaid and replaced by an SWL who was paid twice as much as me because I was gay. As a child, I was never tormented, picked on, or belittled because I was gay. I don't remember any signs telling me to keep up because I was gay. I have never been profiled and detained by INS and Homeland Security because I was gay. I have never searched for a friendly face that looks like me and a sea of people who don't look anything like me because I'm gay. I have never had my intelligence judged before I spoke because I was gay. Stick your head in the sand, deny what's going on. I'm not looking for your pity, I'm sure as hell don't want your empathy. I'm not an angry black woman, I have made my own way, despite someone somewhere. I am frustrated, pained and tired, wondering and waiting for this racism bullshit to end. And it would be one thing if it was all in the past, but it's not. Laws had to be written and ratified to validate our humanity, as opposed to our prior category known as property. And it is not my problem if someone somewhere thinks or believes we are hypersensitive or we perpetuate the division. And while it may not seem like I have remembered the lesser of the two evils, I have. Because 95% of the homophobia I've experienced has been at the hands and mouths of my own brethren. Nothing to celebrate there, and here we go again. Someone somewhere deemed that something was wrong with me. So instead of casting me out, I was given a choice. It's us or them. To hell with me and my heart. Never was afraid of losing my job because I was black, but I did worry once because I was gay. Why hear the joke? It was a black woman threatening to turn me in because she heard from another black woman who was just as gay as I was, but also closeted and a card-carrying Republican. The birth attention from self and onto someone else, that was that Jim Crow strategy. Stereotype or truth, what would it benefit this bitch to take food out of the mouth of my youth? And for the record, and in case I haven't been clear, it hurt like hell. It prompted me to come out of the closet, take back my power, dash away the fear, and tell all my brethren. Uh-oh. Needless to say, it didn't go well. No warm embraces, only denial, accusations, and ultimately rejection. From most, not all. And just to make sure I bring this ride full circle, let me add that on those occasions where I find myself navigating both evils on the same day, in the same moment, with someone somewhere who decides in their little pee-ass brain, I am not worthy, I have no rights, and I need to be gone. Those occasions, brethren, them fuckers hurt most of all. People can spend a lifetime in therapy fighting, trying, working to overcome the wounds and pains of childhood, and it is an accepted, reasonable, rational truth, no justification required. So why is it so hard to accept that an entire race of people might need more than 50 years to get over more than 180
far year of hatred, injustice, dismissal, and degradation in a country where they don't let us forget. I realize I can't help someone somewhere understand where I'm coming from. Instead, I have been met with judgment, denial, and travail. No matter the evil, no matter the day, from someone somewhere who has decided that I don't have a right to my personal skin. As things stand, I'm not sure what to expect, so I am left asking for one thing. Simple respect for my life experience. Chuck, and let's leave it at that. Then.
As he is at home and recovering, and we wish him speedy recovery. Also sending out some major love to Quiet Storm, also a.k.a. at Danica Inspires. Darling, we miss you. We hope all is going well. Hope you're taking care of yourself. And know that your energy is present with us this evening, even if you're not on the mic. I know that everybody on the line right now reflects that as well.
Yes, yes.
All right, well.
Yes.
Somebody want to say something? All righty then, folks. I love each and every one of you this evening for tuning into the show. That's everybody from Miss PD, Lady J, At Soul Sister, also a.k.a. Miss V, Miss LaDonna Marie. As always, I mean a formidable farce. And don't forget to get your book until tomorrow comes. You can get it right now. They're available. So just go ahead and visit her website. You can find all of that information, my dears, on my website at www.conversationswithcleo.com. As you all know, we are humping and just about ready for our fundraiser, which celebrates Passion for Paws. It's the 2013 Dun Dun Award, named after the only mother I ever loved. And so we are so excited and so thrilled with all of the small businesses and all of the artists that have come together to make an evening with Cleo and friends possible on Thursday, November the 14th, 2013, at the Boynton Beach Art District. Beginning at 6:30 is the reception, and the entertainment will begin at 7 p.m., and we will bring a most wonderful, successful evening to a close just about 9 p.m. So I really, really, really do appreciate all of you from around the country. We have received support from so many individuals. And Miss PD, PD Radio on Black, the Beat Therapists are right there at the top of the list. And I just want to put them, as you all say, because, you know, I don't keep up with all of the language and the lingo, put them on blast. When we used to say put you on blast back in the day, it was because we were getting ready to clown you and hurt your feelings. Now I guess put it on blast just means you put it loud. I'm not really sure. But I do want to give you all a big shout out for that, and know that I continually appreciate the relationship that I enjoy with Six Man Radio and PD Radio on Miss PD and Black District. And for all of the amazing ladies on the line and in the house, as always, I appreciate you more than the words. But I'm working on something to fix that, though. You know what I'm saying? Because I look for words, but I'm working on it. Y'all wait until next week. I'm working on something to thank each and every one of these amazing poets that take the time out of their busy life and their schedule to come and support Conversations with Cleo, which is supporting me and you all. Just don't know. I'm not in the mood to cry this evening, so I'm not going to do it. But no, I'm crying inside, though. Because you all, wow, I don't, like I said, I'm going to save the surprise for next week. But at this point in time, we've run a little bit over, and that's okay, because I kind of anticipated that just a little bit, and you all are marvelous. Please do not stop writing. I want you to keep writing no matter. And for those of you who haven't started writing yet, for those of you who are harshly judging your work, I say to you, stop it. No judgment. Poetry is like making a joyful noise. It is relevant no matter. They are feelings, and those feelings will touch someone else. So make sure you stay forward moving, forward thinking, and enjoying life right now. For someone who spends our time talking to people about the future, I'm going to tell you, man, I saw any of them, I say, enjoy your life right now. And I would be remiss if I didn't close out this show with two of my favorite pieces from my own personal collection, as well as from my CD, Full Moon Madness. And this way, my boss, you all know, at LDC Management, won't clock me in the head. Again, ladies, gentlemen, thank you so, so very much for tuning in and for coming online and participating in Open Mic Night. I relish all of my queens, and I bid each and every one of you a most, most, most wonderful weekend. Be safe. Be careful with that moon. Like I said, you can see it after the sun sets tomorrow as darkness sets upon us. Again, I just had a flashback about the car wash, my bad. and we're going to go ahead and bring this to a close. We're going to play What If, and then, of course, I have to celebrate my mommy, and we'll end the show with Mango and Me. Again, mad love and much thanks. At the end of a long day, I'd like to retreat to the veranda in my backyard, stare up at the sky, gaze at the stars, drink a little wine, smoke a little something sometime. I open my mind and my heart to all the possibilities. And one night I thought, what if all of this is one crazy experiment? What if there is no heaven and no hell? What if we are not alone? What if dogs come from another planet? What if canines, felines, dolphins, and elephants are a higher intelligence? What if the dinosaurs came here, thrived, and left right before the Egyptians arrived? What if we are a creation of a greater being's imagination? What if the stars in the sky are a grand treasure map to the answers we so intensely seek? What if we are all aliens, hybrids of Venusians, Martians, and Jupiterians, the offspring of a planetary union? What if Earth was a hotbed of free universal love? What if there is an intergalactic travel agency that specializes in the human experience, an all-inclusive holiday? Choose your status, your culture, your geography. Make reservations early to choose your gender and sexuality. Otherwise, it's first come, first serve. And when the life is done, the intergalactic traveler returns home. What if there are stargates, triangles, and portals that allow each and every one of us to move about the universal cabin without care? What if beings from other planets and places in space study us like we study animals? That would certainly explain all the stories about alien abduction.
What if, when we sleep, we really exist somewhere else? Perhaps a different dimension or a parallel universe. And when we are awake, we exit here, wherever that might be. What if we create every moment we sleep? What if time is something man-made of? What if we all have the power to create and heal? What if Scotty really can beam me up? So many possibilities. I sat for a moment without thinking, quietly. And then it occurred to me, what if this is simply part of the journey? And when I return home and you're in the area, stop by for a visit and let's have some fun. You can usually find me hanging out on the seventh rock from the sun. What if? Wrote most of the CD, sitting, thinking, sighing, dreaming, crying under she. Tall glass of ice, Coca-Cola on the side, a bag of barbecue chips, pen and paper, rustling leaves, chimes, glistening sunlight. I feel safe, quieted and tranquil. Never really paid much attention to her in the beginning. I respected her grandeur, her wisdom, her experience. Too smug or too stupid to be humbled by her presence, her power, her gifts. Ah, and how she loved me. Even when I didn't show love back, her patience for my loving recognition endured. While I wonder, could I have risen to such an occasion? I sound selfish, I know. She loved so many. Why do I believe I was special? Because she showed me so. The signs and the lessons shared without judgment, why count when the list continues? Carved initials, a poem about love, a wild orchid, and assorted tokens of life. Strange, but not really, I had no idea how important Mongo would be until I lost Anne-Marie. I miss you, Mommy. So used to run into her to dry my tears, listen to my rants, and to love me like the Creator made me. That's what she said, and that's what she did. When she left, there was nothing but space. No matter where I ran, I had no place until I found myself under the mango tree. My first tears fell on that day while I sat under the tree, waiting for a phone call I really didn't need, cause I already knew. Sometimes it sucks to be me. She had finished her human journey. Every moment I miss her, wishing she was still in this dimension. I miss her even though my heart and mind conspire to deny my loss. 3 months doesn't seem long unless you are waiting for the pain to stop so you can move the fuck on. You have to live life, baby. Don't let life live you. And the mango tree echoes the old lady's words because she continues to live life. In spite of the asphalt parking lot more than 150 years old, she has observed the human condition, watching generations come and go. And she is still teaching from beyond, reminding me all the while that energy does not die, no boundaries known. I see her more clearly every day, often while sitting, visiting, chatting and laughing under the mango tree. The pain hasn't gone away, and the tears fall from time to time, sometimes for no reason at all. Grief is a strange thing. Jebu Ami, Mommy. You have been listening to Conversations with Cleo, live Thursday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Thank you for sharing your evening with me, and I hope to see you back here next week. Visit me at conversationswithcleo.com or hail me up on Twitter at RealMissCleo. And remember,
50% of the people aren't going to like you. So spend all your time, your heart, and your energy on the 50% that do. Peace. Blow that horn, boss.